Brilliance Audio presents the unabridged recording of The Source Field Investigations by David Wilcock, performed by the author.
Foreword by James V. Hart. Allow me to take you back in time before David Wilcock welcomes you to the future. It is 1 a.m. on Monday, September 28th, 2009. Exactly 3 years, 84 days, 10 hours, 11 minutes, and 11 seconds before the world ends on December 21st, 2012. I am in my barn in Pound Ridge, New York, writing what I think is the best screenplay I have ever been involved with since I was fortunate enough to have written the original screenplay for the motion picture Contact, having worked with the late great man of the universe, Carl Sagan. And then I receive an email from my writing partner in California, Amanda Wells. She directs me to a YouTube site, and there I have my first encounter with David Wilcock, seer, scientist, philosopher, dream reader. And he is quoting and citing passages from two of the films I have written, Contact and The Last Mimsy, as if their filmic content were the equivalent of a cinematic Rosetta Stone, unlocking the secrets of the universe. I was impressed that this young, gangly sage, part oracle and part stand-up cosmic comedian, found so much meaning in one of the greater film experiences I'd had as a writer, Contact, and one of my lesser, The Last Mimsy. So I introduced myself to David and thus began a most fortuitous journey for myself and my collaborator, Amanda Wells, that continues into the haze of 2012 and the clarity beyond. I don't know about you, but I know where I am going to be on January 1st, 2013, and it won't be buried under volcanic ash and mud from a tsunami or crushed by a 10-mile-high tidal wave. Not this believer. I will be wherever David Wilcock is, celebrating the genesis of a new golden age and enjoying every precious second of it. If you want doom and gloom and a replay of the tortured end to humankind's existence, there is plenty of that at the multiplex. Read no further if you are hopeless, do not believe in the power of consciousness, and think that stuff happens, and there is nothing we as a species can do about it. Stop right here if you truly believe we are alone in the universe. As I wrote in the film Contact, based on Carl Sagan's brilliant novel regarding whether or not the universe is populated with intelligent life, if we are alone, seems like an awful waste of space. But I am here to tell you, we are not alone in this universe. And we have David Wilcock to prove it, and to guide us to this golden prophecy. From that very first encounter with David Wilcock, watching him in 2012 Enigma on YouTube at 1 a.m. in the morning, I understood with great clarity that here finally was a mind that was taking the time to connect the dots between the human species and the rest of the cosmos, to ready us to finally become citizens of the galaxy. This was Carl Sagan's wish as well. The time I spent with this generous, visionary man of science prepared me for this big adventure with David Wilcock. Sagan did not believe in UFOs and little green men, but he did believe in the abundance of life in the universe and our potential to join the collective cosmos of that life if we would only open ourselves to the possibility and stop destroying one another with our warring religions, small gods, and hateful, divisive dogmas and political insanities. David Wilcock has added Carl Sagan's hope for the human race to his synthesis of the cosmos and our place in it. As I write this introduction to David's seminal work on our collective future in the post-2012 world we will evolve into, I am filled with that same awe and childish wonder at what is going to happen next, what is waiting for us as a species, to embrace and to invigorate. It ain't gonna happen if we just sit and wait. We have to understand now what our role is in this great opportunity that begins on December 21st, 2012. A line comes to mind that I wrote 10 years ago for a new animated epic that is now in production at Fox for release in 2013. The line sums up the truth that I firmly believe David Wilcock is bringing from the universe to the human species. One heart beats for all hearts beat for one. Thank you, David Wilcock, for putting hope back on the table. Pay attention, humans, and keep your karma dry. J.V. Hart, Pound Ridge, New York, 2009.
Introduction by Graham Hancock. I was researching my book Fingerprints of the Gods in the early 1990s when I first became aware of the so-called Mayan prophecy that the world will come to an end on December 21, 2012. It's since become obvious, thank goodness, that there is more than one way to read the prophecy. Some still favor gloom and doom, but growing numbers have found good reasons to interpret 2012 not so much as a specific date, but as an epoch that has already begun, a period of 30, 50, even 100 years, in which, though there may be trials and tribulations, a bright new future will dawn for humanity, allowing us to manifest a higher state of consciousness and realize our full potential. David Wilcock is a leading thinker amongst the latter group, and he makes a magnificent case in the pages that follow that a golden age is indeed within our grasp and can be brought into manifestation if only we choose to make it so. Skeptics react to such unorthodox notions with savage attacks on those who put them forward, and David must expect a firestorm of criticism as the influence of this book spreads. Indeed, if the establishment behaves true to form, then just about everything he says here is going to be combed through for mistakes and weakness by teams of very clever people. Whatever they find, and no author ever wrote a book without making at least some mistakes, will be used to suggest that everything else in the book is wrong as well. Do not be discouraged. There is a tremendous amount of good science here, much of it new to Western readers because it is the work of Russian scientists. David has done a great service in bringing all this material together in one place for the first time. In some cases, the implications of the Russian research are so radical that it has already been outlawed or disregarded by the mainstream. Keep an open mind, especially where the establishment says no. Accept David's invitation to dig deeper into the facts, and pretty soon you will find that things are beginning to connect together before your eyes into an entirely new pattern that you might never have considered before. It's not my purpose to comment on all the extraordinary concepts in this big book of ideas, but here are three David puts forward, all closely interlinked, that particularly stand out for me. 1. The visible material realm, the collective experience that we all agree to call the real world, is an emanation into three-dimensional space of an invisible parallel universe. We cannot claim a full understanding of the real world without taking account of the hidden realm that it emerges out of. 2. Precisely because it is an emanation, and therefore in some senses like an illusion or a hologram, the real world is not a fixed and firm immutable construct that can be changed only by direct physical or mechanical action. Sometimes it behaves more like a lucid dream that can be changed by the power of thought and imagination. 3. Thoughts are therefore things, and we should be aware that our thoughts can manifest tangible effects in the real world. In one sense, these are very modern 21st century ideas that David is exploring here, ideas at the cutting edge of disciplines such as quantum physics and consciousness research. But what draws me to all of them are the ways in which they also resonate deeply with ancient wisdom traditions, reminding us that the truth is always true and indivisible, wherever and whenever it is expressed. For example, the notion that the real world is an emanation or manifestation of a hidden realm is central to the ancient Egyptian idea of the nature of reality expressed in documents as old as the pyramid texts, circa 2200 BC. The same idea is reworked and restated through the various recensions of the coffin texts, the Book of What is in the Duat, and the Book of the Dead, and finally trickles down into the Gnostic and Hermetic texts that began to be compiled in Greek and Latin around the time of Christ, and had a profound influence on mystical Christianity. The essence of this ancient idea can be summed up in the simple and beautiful Hermetic dictum, as above, so below, which is to say that the pattern of things here on earth, in the real world, the sensible cosmos, as it is known in the Hermetic texts, can only be understood properly when you realize that it manifests the workings of a higher, unseen domain. If you consider the whole, you will learn that in truth the sensible cosmos itself, with all things that are therein, is woven like a garment by that higher cosmos. Or, put another way, there exists a cosmos that is imperceptible to sense. This sensible cosmos, i.e. the real world, has been made in the image of that other cosmos and reproduces eternity in a copy. I can see no difference between the Hermetic cosmos imperceptible to sense, which weaves the visible cosmos like a garment, and David's concept of the source field, undetected as yet by our conventional scientific instruments, but shaping and defining every aspect of our reality. What the Hermetic texts say about the cyclical nature of time and its interpenetration with matter also gels nicely with the latest science on the subject brought together by David in these pages. After you've finished the source field investigations, come back here and reread the three passages from the Hermetica set out below, and I guarantee you will see what I mean. The cosmos is that in which time is contained, and it is by the progress and movement of time that life is maintained in the cosmos. The process of time is regulated by a fixed order, and time in its ordered course renews all things in the cosmos by alteration. The cosmos revolves with an everlasting movement. That movement has had no beginning and will have no end. It manifests itself and disappears by turns in the several parts of the cosmos, and that in such fashion that again and again in the checkered course of time, it manifests itself anew in those same parts in which it disappeared before. Such is the nature of circular movement. All points in the circle are so linked together that you can find no place at which the movement can begin. For it is evident that all points in the line of movement both precede and follow one another forever, and it is in this manner that time revolves. If you suppose the present time to be separate from the past time, and the future from the present, you will find yourself in a difficulty. For it is impossible for the present to come into being unless the past has also come into being, and for the future to come into being unless the present has. For the present issues from the past, and the future from the present. And inasmuch as the past joins on to the present, and the present to the future, they are made one by their continuity. They are therefore not separate from one another. David's very useful and interesting notion that the real world may actually be a form of lucid dream, subject to change by acts of will or imagination, is also prefigured in the Hermetic writings, which go so far as to state that illusion is a thing wrought by the working of reality. Even the human bodies that we inhabit are, in the Hermetic view, unreal. You must understand that that which always exists and that alone is real. But man is not a thing that always exists, and therefore man is not real, but is only an appearance. In these realms of appearances, thoughts may indeed become things, and we must take care with the thoughts we put out there. It's difficult with 24-hour rolling news showing us the worst aspects of humanity. If too many of us focus for too long on doom and destruction, if too many of us continue to dwell on negative emotions like hatred and envy, if too many of us fail to express love and gratitude and remain unwilling to seek forgiveness, then it will not be long before we turn our lucid dream into hell on earth. It doesn't have to be that way. A fundamental message of this book, and of many ancient wisdom teachings, is that we are co-creators of our own reality, and that the golden age is therefore just around the corner, all the time, for all of us. To embrace it, we must set aside the negative patterns and reference frames of the past, let go of rigid habits of thought that serve us no longer, and be willing to accept a permanent shake-up in our outlook on just about everything. It's proof of how difficult it is to do any of this that the Golden Age has been so long coming. Yet if David is right, the hidden source field generating the lucid dream that we call reality can be expected to make its presence and its influence felt with great power and persistence in the coming years, and have profound effects on human consciousness. Perhaps the epoch of 2012 really does mark a crossroads in our story, and perhaps the time has come for us to pay close attention to the cosmos, both seen and unseen, which does not idly send us signs and wonders or speak to us through dreams and visions, but which ungrudgingly favors our welfare and seeks always to set us on the right track. Graham Hancock, author, Fingerprints of the Gods, www.grahamhancock.com.